time for Taking Care of Business on Midlands 103. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Midlands 103.
Hello, and you're very welcome to Taking Care of Business with me, Ronan Berry, here on Midlands 103. Coming up between now and 8 o'clock, I'll be looking at leadership succession planning within businesses in a week where succession planning and picking a new leader has been very much part of the news and all across the media. Are you happy with the choice? Are you happy with the anointed one? And how does that work if it applies to your business? As a business owner, is that something that you've actually considered? Or do you have to go and look outside your company when it comes to appointing and finding new leadership for your business? Well, later on, Breida Dooley from Matrix Recruitment will have lots of hints and tips and given their experience over the years in sourcing senior leaders for businesses and also in what they discover when they're looking and helping businesses to develop their succession plans. I'll also be talking to Amy O'Connor. Amy is the tourism activator for Westmeath County Council. And again, she will make the case why if you have a tourism business in County Westmeath, you really need to keep an eye out for the Just Transition Regenerative Tourism and Placemaking Scheme. There are some important closing dates coming in the next couple of months. Very important that they're pointed out as well. As other people have described it, including Kieran Mullooly, who's a tourism activator for County Longford, a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity for local businesses. So stay tuned and find out how you can get involved in that. Also, we'll have a look at the Customer Service Awards, the Midlands 103 Awards. They're back for the fifth year. Once again, your nominations are sought for that person, that business, or that service that you really want to get the acknowledgement for. Katrina Lawler from Midlands 103 will be here a little bit later this evening to tell you how you can get involved, how you can place nominations. It gives an overview of who the judges are and of some of the key categories that you can vote in. If you want to be part of this evening's conversation on the show, 083 3010 103 text and WhatsApp number. That is the easiest way to get me. Also, you can find me on business@midlands103.com. But before I get to all that, I want to bring in John Clendenin. John is the owner of Giltrap's Pub up in Kinnity in County Offaly. He's also the current president of the Vintners Federation of Ireland. And last week on the show, I spoke to the CEO of ISME Ireland, Neil MacDonald, about their new campaign called Save Jobs, Sign the Pledge. Many other organisations and various bodies across the country have gotten behind this campaign. Neil spoke about it last week. They have a number of key objectives there, but they really want to sit up and try and take action on the threat that exists to many, many Irish jobs right across the country. It has been well documented, well spoken about, but our pub trades, and particularly our rural pubs, seem to be particularly struggling in the post-COVID world. A very good evening, John. Is that a fair starting point?
Absolutely, Ronan. Good evening to you and your listeners. And I suppose from a savejobs.ie perspective, and I'd encourage anyone listening today to go on and sign the pledge, really what this is a coalition of sectors and business groupings to try and come together and represent the SME sector with effectiveness. You're probably looking at around 360,000 small businesses across Ireland, 1.4 million employees. And really what we're trying to do is save local economies, save rural economies, and ensure that businesses remain feasible and sustainable into the future. And just to put that in perspective in relation to just one figure, the likes of the minimum wage, and you know, we don't begrudge any increases. I think the more money in people's pockets, the better, and the better quality of life that people can have. But you know, if you take that one in that figure alone of 2,900 euro in a year, you know, if you multiply that across the entire sector, you're looking at a 4 billion approximate figure if it's passed on in terms of relative terms. So that is a key issue in terms of not passing it on to the employee, but how it's sustainable within a business to cover that cost. So that's certainly one part. And on the balancing side of that, what we're really looking at is how tax reform can come about to provide, I suppose, more margin to allow for us to pay for the likes of additional labour costs. And we fundamentally believe that the likes of the VAT figures, we obviously saw the VAT on service food and so on, were brought back up from 9% to 13.5%, and we'd like to see that reverse. We're also currently conducting, even within our own representative group at the moment, a calculation around excise and the possible reduction there. And I think as well, and this is part of the savejobs.ie objectives, is that there would be a review of the 23% that rate and see if a further reduction could be brought in relation to that. And then the final part of the Safe Jobs Initiative, I suppose, is the whole industrial relations aspect, where, you know, there's ongoing engagement with government at many different levels in relation to how the economy should be driven forward. And really, we feel that there's a void in terms of the representation of small businesses, and we want to get a better hearing, and we want to get our point across. And by forming this coalition, we feel that we have strength and unity, and hopefully we'll see the results of that in time to come.
And for listeners there, to put it in context, the VFI represents over 7,000 Irish pubs. That's about 40,500 staff in pubs, mainly outside of County Dublin as well. So significant representation there too. And the fact that you're putting your weight behind the campaign is probably somewhat understandable. But this week, John, as well, lots of talk, and I know you made an appearance on TV last night around the Sale of Alcohol Bill, which looks at extending the opening hours for pubs and nightclubs as well. Is that something that will put more pressure on smaller rural pubs, or will the extended open hours allow for more opportunity for, you know, better, more sustainable careers for people?
Yeah, well, I think, and just to pick up on your last point, Ronan, you know, we've lost 20% of our pubs, 1,800 pubs in the last 20 years. So, you know, it's not exactly that we're swimming with tide here. You know, we are in very challenging times. Behaviours and attitudes are certainly changing, and you know, we would really question the opening hours. We'll willingly welcome them, and we'll work with government as best we can in terms of, you know, the streamlining of it from 10:30 a.m. to 12:30 a.m. 7 days a week, and making it a little bit easier and more straightforward to apply for late bars. But, you know, fundamentally here, Ronan, we need more confidence that, you know, all of the resources to support the nighttime economy will be provided for. And right now, I suppose, when we're coming out of the pandemic and some of the new behaviours that we see, people are coming out earlier and they're going home earlier, quite simply because they can't get home after 9 or 10 o'clock because there's simply no transport. So, you know, we need to see what are the transport solutions, what are going to be the support services in relation to the nighttime economy. And I think realistically, we need to get all of the major stakeholders around the table to really crash this out and have a good brainstorming session and identify what the resources need to be and how they're going to be funded. But, you know, essentially, do I see late clubs opening or early morning clubs opening in every rural town and village across the country? Absolutely not. I've been around the whole country in the last number of weeks as president, meeting different counties, and I really get no sense of a burning desire for people to want to stay open till 5 or 6 a.m., just considering all of the different aspects, whether it be, you know, the business feasibility, whether it be the trends of what they see in the market, and what they see in terms of support services and resources from a public sector perspective. So I don't think it's going to be something that's really going to be prevalent right across the country. I think it's worth noting as well that, you know, midweek, whether it be Sunday right through to Thursday, the majority of pubs, regrettably, could close their doors probably at 10 o'clock at night, because there isn't that mad rush to the bar at closing time or last orders or anything anymore. It's just changing trends. People have to be up early in the morning for work, whatever the case may be, in terms of commitments and just lifestyles change. So, you know, we have adapted to that. We've seen an awful lot of innovation in our sector, particularly since COVID. We've seen diversification into, you know, more food outlets, specific types of entertainment. And that's the reality of life today. And I would have often said in your programme before, Ronan, that, you know, we're now competing with social media and what people see as the offering in the west coast of America to the holiday in the Costa del Sol. So the consumer sophistication and expectation is higher than ever before. And we have to constantly strive to try and meet that.
Speaking of the consumer as well, Diageo announced today a further increase on the price of draft beers, another 6 cents. That's on top of the 12 cents that was added last year. You mentioned on the television last night about 60% of alcohol is consumed in the home. Is that move, do you think, likely to drive more people to just drink at home?
Well, I think we have to be cognizant of a number of factors here. First of all, I think the reduction, and this is fact, the reduction of alcohol consumption in this country is on the decline and has been for a number of years. There's 60% of alcohol consumption at home. And watching that programme last night, there was a sense of, I suppose, irresponsible behaviour around alcohol. But the one thing I would say in terms of a pub is a controlled environment. And when you've had too much, you know, the publican will stand up to you and say, listen, you have enough, you need to take it easy. I don't think the fridge is ever going to do that. You know, every time you go to the fridge, you'll get another can or whatever it is you're having yourself. But the reality is it doesn't have that same level of I suppose, responsibility, accountability, that a licence holding premises. And I think there is an element of social inclusion that we overlook often when we talk about the pub, when we talk about what it is in terms of the anchor of communities and bringing people together. And certainly, I feel that if we, you know, if we were to, you know, go down the road of banning alcohol or something of that description, I think we would be creating a significant problem, particularly across rural Ireland in relation to isolation. I think we need to encourage people to get out, to integrate in communities and socialise.
John, as finally, you're a member of the Fine Gael party, a councillor for Offaly County Council as well. What looks like our incoming Taoiseach, Simon Harris, has said already one of his key priorities will be supporting small businesses. How confident do you think you will that he can actually make changes and help? Like when we see sectors like the pubs that are really struggling, will he do the business for you, do you think?
Yeah, I think really government need to be honest, Ronan. It's been a very difficult period. If you look since the start of the year, as I mentioned, that labour, the likes of insurance costs are going up, and now we have the increase from Diageo. You know, albeit the increased cost of business scheme was introduced, but unfortunately for many of our members, the feedback is that it's simply just not adequate enough, and they're gasping for air at this stage. And I think it's worth noting that, you know, in terms of the Diageo increase in particular today, you know, we've had a lot of our members that have been trying to I suppose, take margin on themselves, absorb it within their own profit and loss, and that's just no longer sustainable. And you know, the line from Diageo today was that their input costs had gone up, and they need to pass it on. And essentially, our input costs are now going up, and fundamentally, we will have to pass them on. It is never a scenario that we want to do, but the real conundrum that we're facing is that there must be a tipping point. We don't know where it is exactly, but how we don't want to get to the scenario of €10 a pint. And I certainly think that, you know, we need to see government intervention and further supports to try and assist businesses, particularly small businesses that might not necessarily have the economies of scale, you know, of greater levels of production or whatever the case may be. So I think there needs to be targeted supports for SMEs this year.
John Clinton, thank you so much for that as well. That's John Clinton. They're the president of the Vintners Federation of Ireland, the owner of Giltrap's Bar and Glamping up in Kennedy too. John actually mentioned with the number of pubs that have closed in the last 20 years, the statistic for nightclubs is something like 700 nightclubs in the country 25 years ago. That's down to 50 at the minute. So when it comes to creating new opportunities in the tourism, in the hospitality sector too, the Just Transition Fund is something that has been, you know, talked about for the last 6 months or year. It apparently presents huge opportunities for your business. Stay tuned after the break. If you're in Westmeath in particular, or any of the counties in the Just Transition area, keep a listen out because you're going to meet the tourism activator for County Westmeath.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Still to come on the show, we'll be talking all things leadership and succession planning, particularly from the point of view of your business, be it a small micro business right up to the large multinational. Succession planning is an absolute fundamental for any business. How can the business continue after senior management retire, or for other reasons are taken out of the business, or whatever that cause may be? Have you got a plan in place? Who are your key people, and how can you kind of prevent your business hitting the skids if you haven't got that in place? Later on, we'll be talking to Brida Dooley from Matrix Recruitment about that, particularly if you need to go outside of your business or your existing employees to find that new leader or that person for a senior position. Later on too, we'll give you an update on the Midlands 103 Customer Service Awards, back for the fifth year, just launched yesterday. Find out how you can nominate people, get businesses involved, from Katrina Lawler just a little bit later. But before that, I'm going to go back to that topic, and every couple of weeks in the show we touch on it here. It is such an important one, and I hope I'm not just beating a drum about this one, but the Just Transition Fund that was announced a number of years ago, and there's been various rounds and expressions of interest open to you. The real focus at present is on businesses in the tourism and hospitality sector, and people are being asked to go out there and create some great ideas, come up with the next, you know, the next Centre Parks potentially. Maybe there's something there in that. Or even if you have a small business like a bike hire business along the banks of the Grand Canal, you can possibly go and look at expanding that business or growing that business. Now, when I start talking about grant money and expressions of interest, it all sounds very, very complicated and arduous and loads of paperwork. Well, thankfully, all the counties in the region, that come under the Just Transition Fund have appointed tourism activators. A few weeks back, you met Mary Hensey from Offaly County Council. Regina Dunn is in place in County Leash. A certain Kieran Mullooly has taken the role for Longford County Council. And in Westmeath, that person is Amy O'Connor. And Amy joins me now. Very good evening, Amy.
Good evening, Ronan. How's everyone?
Absolutely fantastic. Amy, give us an introduction to yourself as well, and I suppose the role you have as the tourism activator for County Westmeath.
Absolutely, delighted to. So thank you very much for this evening. So Amy O'Connor, as I said, and I'm the Just Transition Activator for Westmeath. And I'm located within the County Council buildings, working with Fáilte Ireland to support individuals and community groups to, I suppose, future-proof for the future. And that's really what we're doing. Like you spoke about planning for the succession of our country, for our county, for the place that we live in. And my role in this is and to support the expressions of interest and full application submissions, because at the end of the day, what we want to do is take the overwhelm away from an application process, because in the past it could have been, you know, quite laborious and it's a bit of heavy lifting, you know, to get some funding. But our job here is to actually get that point of contact for any applicant, have the conversation with somebody around ideation of, you know, possibly a change that they want to make within their own careers. Agriculture, is there a change in direction or an addition that they actually want to do within their farm holding or in their area? It's about looking at the questions and having discussions with people really to create more robust and projects for submission. And that's really my job.
Amy, apologies, your audio is kind of dropping in and out a little bit. You might just get on your feet. I know you're in a hotel over around Mullingar at the minute. You might just maybe move around a small bit. Just the line is dropping a little bit. We'll keep the conversation going, because I know your main focus and your main area of interest and your funding stream is the investment grant aid under the Regenerative Tourism and Placemaking Scheme. Let's start there. Mm-hmm. What is regenerative tourism, and why should Midlands businesses be conscious and aware of what it is?
Well, the regenerative tourism as a whole is about looking at the place that we actually live in. How can we actually make this place better for the people that are coming in our own business, and how can we create something good? It's also about how are we actually going to rise the other businesses around us? How are we going to actually rise other things to see and do? How are we going to increase dwell time within the actual county itself? The scheme itself, Regenerative Tourism Placemaking Scheme, transform tourism across the Hidden Heartlands region and by a small extent the ancient east as well, by diversifying the local economy, by looking for new employment opportunities through tourism, and to help the communities actually lift their own energies, lift their own revitalising through using micro-based enterprises, using small SMEs, and to looking at sustaining jobs. And when I say about sustaining jobs, it's not just about, you know, the sustainability of the country, sustainability in terms of carbon. We're looking at the how are we going to keep people in jobs? How are we going to create more jobs for people as well? So that's really what regenerative tourism is about. If you can look at it as, you know, making some place that we have better, this is what it is all about.
I think that's and often that message of sometimes we don't appreciate what we have on our doorstep here in the Midlands. In your role that you've taken on, have any sort of ideas, and you don't have to be specific on these now in terms of the who or the what, but have any ideas come in or any expressions of interest that have really caught your attention and made you actually think different about what is available and what we have on our own doorstep?
Oh, absolutely. There's a really, really good array of applications, submissions coming in at the moment across all five category types. Just very briefly before I go into it, the first category type is regarding the development and enhancement of sustainable visitor experiences. So our attractions, what's about us? The second category is regarding our sustainable low carbon tourism accommodation. It looks at both rural and urban types, which is great. The third category is about our professional fees. So people, you know, to get a project off the ground can actually take some money beforehand. And this scheme, or this part of the scheme, looks at the paying out on the professional fees. We have category four for digital transformation, and we also have category five, and this is the one that excites me most. This is the accessible enhancements to provide a more inclusive visitor experience. There is plenty of research out here at the moment to actually show that as a nation, as humans, we're actually getting older for longer. And there's other things that we need to see and do. And right now, with this scheme, we can actually use the funding here to actually enhance our area, enhance our accommodation pieces, enhance our attractions, enhance our walkways, so that we can have more of an inclusive visitor experience. There is some amazing projects coming in both on water and on land, to allow this to happen, to allow people to have all of these amazing experiences on both water and land, as I said. So we connect people back to nature. When we connect people back to nature, it has a bigger effect, not just on our well-being, but look at the amount of people that it takes to actually create an activity around water. How much does it take around land? It's absolutely fantastic. Outside of the accessibility part of it, there's also some really, really good visitor experiences coming on board. And I'm not talking about the ones the local authorities are actually invested in. I'm talking about the businesses that are expanding. They're looking at their attraction going, you know, how can we actually make this bigger and better right now? And that's going to have a knock-on effect in our towns and in our villages. And it's absolutely amazing. There's lots of lovely alternative, really innovative accommodation pieces coming up rurally as well, which is great. And people are acknowledging the fact that, okay, if we're going to do this, we need some planning permission, which is fine. That's where they actually sit down and interact with myself. And we find a way around this. We look at what is it that's needed? What does success look like? How are we actually going to move this project forward? And we deal with it one step at a time. So, you know, there's great projects coming through, Ronan.
Within that, I presume there are some kind of key deadlines that people should be keeping an eye out for. Can you give us maybe an overview of what they are and what people need to maybe have done before those deadlines?
Absolutely, 100%. So the first deadline is the expression of interest submission. And the expression of interest is in by the 30th of June, 2024. At this point, you have to have an overview of what the project is, how much do you think it's going to cost, how is it going to enhance and attract in your area, and what is your key milestones? In other words, what's your timeline to getting this from ideation to operation? The second date then is the application deadline, and that is 30th of December 2024. This means that all of your applications must be approved and submitted, must be submitted at this time. If at this time you need planning permission, you must have received approved planning permission before the 30th of December 2024. That planning permission notice goes along with your application and submitted to Fáilte Ireland for evaluation. The last deadline that we need to be aware of is August 2026. All businesses must be up and open and running by 2026, and funding drawdown must be in and completed by October 2026. But they're the four key dates that we need to actually remember and look at, especially when we're doing our narratives and our timelines from start to end.
So, you know, it's a tight timeline, but at mm-hmm. the same time, if people get working on that, get in gear as well, if they've got that concept, that idea, now is the time to really flesh it out, because I know it's a unique opportunity there as well. In terms of your own promoting your own service there too, any workshops coming up, any information even that you want to make people aware of?
Absolutely. So there's clinics going on every week within Westmeath County Council, and I'm open for one-to-one sessions as well with people. All they have to do is email amy.o'connor@westmeathcoco.ie. Also, as the other JTAs, as you mentioned us earlier on, we all work together and collaborate together. We're a small entity at the end of the day. So on the 10th of April at 6:30 in the Athlone Springs Hotel, myself and my Roscommon counterpart, Gillian McGarry, we're going to be doing a open presentation, public walk-in presentation to anybody who wishes to attend. One of the things we also do is we're supported very, very well with the local enterprise offices. And we collaborate with them in terms of mentorship in Start Your Own Business courses, priming grant aid. The beauty of this funding stream is that you can actually use this funding stream along with another funding stream to get you to where you need to be.
Absolutely. And that's, again, probably some of the reason why it has been classed as a unique opportunity as well. Amy, you have a busy few years ahead of you as well, but congratulations on taking up the role, getting the information out there, and hopefully the businesses respond in kind as well. And undoubtedly, we'll talk again in the near future. Amy O'Connor, Just Transition Fund Officer with Westmeath County Council. Thank you so much for that. Again, there's another reminder as to maybe why you need to get involved with that programme. It is a great opportunity. It's sitting there. Get involved. See if it's for you, and start that first step and make that move. Time for a quick break. After that, leadership and succession planning.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
Still to come, find out how you can get involved with the Midlands 103 Customer Service Awards. The nominations are now open, so get in like many have already and nominate that person or that business or that service that you receive that you feel deserves recognition and maybe even an award at a gala night coming up in a couple of months' time. Find out all about that very, very shortly. Before that, though, I want to look at things like succession planning and leadership within our organisations. And we know at the highest level of office in this country, when it comes to finding a new Taoiseach or appointing a new Taoiseach, we the people generally don't have a direct vote in that. We don't, because it is the government parties and that elect a Taoiseach as well. We now know that Simon Harris is pretty much guaranteed to be the next Taoiseach, coming into office in a similar way that local man Brian Cowan did a number of years ago. But when it comes to your business, you can take a much more proactive approach than that and not just waiting to see what the lie of the land is, what the kind of political sentiment at the time are, what the recurring issues are. And you can actually be very, very clever and strategic about how you go about creating a succession plan for your business. To delve a bit deeper into this, I'm delighted to be joined by Breida Dooley, Regional Recruitment Manager at Matrix Recruitment. Very good evening, Breida.
Good evening, Ronan. Thank you for having me on your show.
Breida, is it ever too early to start succession planning?
No. You must look at succession planning as a long term investment. You're future proofing your company. That's what you're trying to do. Succession planning is where the HR and the leadership come together. They identify key positions that will need a successor. So they put a succession plan in place so that it will limit risks. It maintains stability. So succession planning is not just about filling vacant leadership positions. It's about identifying and developing future leaders who can drive the organisation forward. And if you have that put in place, then you're future-proofing your company.
And this is applicable to a micro business right up to a multinational. There's really no business that's immune to succession planning.
Succession planning is in everything as well. It's not just businesses. If you look at, sport, succession planning is in sport. We have a prime example there of the Irish rugby team. You had Joe Schmitz and you had Andy Farrell in under him as assistant coach for a number of years, and he now has taken over the reins as the Irish coach. So, and even sports, it's in development squads, you have, even for a team, if somebody goes off injured, you have somebody there to take over that person if they do go out injured. So succession planning is everything, is in everything, but especially you must have it in your business going forward.
Yeah, and when you put it like that, actually, for any family too, things like income protection, life assurance, making a will early, unfortunately, that's all part of succession planning in the event that something unexpected does happen or something can happen, So I suppose it is a huge important thing for organisations. Are organisations becoming better at it? Are many organisations lagging behind in terms of actually taking action on this?
The bigger companies definitely have succession plans in place. You can see in the larger organisations where you can go in to, at a junior level, and you can progress up mid senior right up to director level. You look at, I watched that series on Pennies there recently, where people went in on the shop floor and now they're, they could be buyers or they could be involved in the marketing side of things as well. So that's all about succession planning. So the bigger companies are definitely doing it. The smaller companies mightn't be able to do it, but, because they don't have the resources. But if they don't, they should look for external help, maybe look at a HR consultant, or work with an recruitment agency if they identify a key position that they know maybe somebody is going to retire, that they can start putting a plan in place.
And if a company has gone and say, use the strategy for identifying those potential leaders as well, how can they go about nurturing them and making sure that when the day comes, these people are ready to step up?
Well, I suppose we'll go back maybe a few steps and we say, start your process early. Start the succession planning early, well in advance of maybe somebody that is potentially going to change. So you're allowing yourself the time to identify and develop potential successors. Then you assess the talent pool. So most companies like to look internally for somebody, for a position. So look and identify who has those potential leadership skills to take on that position. And do they have the technical expertise as well? If you don't, you know, have somebody internally, then obviously, you will have to look at externally and come to the likes of ourselves, a recruitment agency, for guidance on that as well. Then you need to, once you've identified the talent, provide development opportunities. So invest in leadership development programs. You want to nurture them. You want to enhance the skills so that they can be this potential successor. You want them to shadow that person that is going to be moving on so that they can step into that role very, very easily as well. But also, if it is in a larger organization or any organization, you need to communicate to employees what you need, the criteria you need to be that lead, you know, to take on that leadership selection as well. And then we'd say cultivate a learning environment. There's a lot of companies there, like I say, they give people the opportunity to come in at a lower level and they have the opportunity to progress. So you give them, this gives them a chance to continually to develop new skills, and then they have an opportunity where they can, they're going to be, you know, have an opportunity to grow within the organization. And then that creates longevity in staff. People will be happy. They'll say, God, this company is a good organization to be in. So, you know, I'm going to stay with them. I can have a really good career, progression in this company as well. But then the company then is succession planning, and it's, you know, if somebody does go, it's not going to have a negative impact on them.
When it comes to selecting a future leader, then if we had a company, say for example, with 25, 30 people in it and was a senior position coming up and we were trying to put a succession plan in place, obviously we can't put all our eggs in one basket. Typically, do companies look, how many candidates do they look to have? Because I'm sure if you anoint one person in your mind and said that person is going to be the leader of this company and then they step away or they don't want that leadership position, typically a company of 25 people, would they have a number of potential candidates identified? And when it comes to actually finding that person to fill the role, is it often one of those people that were picked, or do we sometimes go external and find somebody else?
I suppose in terms of, having a number of people, it probably is down to maybe just one person. And potentially then if you have somebody else coming up the ranks behind them, which usually it would be one individual that maybe would be identified as the potential takeover for them. But you'd have somebody else, like you should have somebody else training behind them to take on their position when they move. So it's like a chain the whole way through. And what was the last bit you asked me there, Ronan? Sorry.
I suppose when it comes to the crunch, then could somebody find that actually I'd identified three people over the last number of years, but when it comes to actually replacing me, maybe they're not quite up to it. What do I do then?
Well, if they're not quite up to it, you'd have to be very communicate with them through the process, you know, and make them aware that, you know, maybe they're not meeting certain needs. And And if they're not up for, then you have to look, if you don't have anybody internally, then you have to look externally for the right person.
How important is it then if we are identifying potential candidates to take those senior leadership positions that we bring a bit of diversity in, be that, you know, a bit of gender balance in, that we make sure we consider all candidates, given that, you know, the world is changing, the way people manage people is changing rapidly, even the demands that workers are putting on businesses now in terms of flexibility, working from home. How do we ensure that there's a bit of diversity brought into our selection and we don't end up like, I think GE famously, I remember 10 or 15 years ago when Jack Welch was stepping down, I think there was something like 8 people shortlisted to take over GE. All of them were Caucasian males. All I think were on their third or fourth marriage. They were pretty much the same person, just looked slightly different. How do we ensure there's that diversity there within that final pool of people who will take that leadership position?
Well, you need to have a clear kind of guideline of what is required for the position. You need to know kind of, you need to have identified, a job description in terms of the type of person, the type of education, the type of criteria, the type of experience that is required for that position, and the type of skill set. Like a leader needs to be a strong communicator, they need to be a strategic thinker, they need to have emotional intelligence, and they need to be able to lead and have confidence and belief. And if they have the proper kind of, I suppose, guidelines in place and they follow it and have an external person come in alongside them, maybe an external consultant to help them in identifying the right person, then there should be diversity when you're identifying, you're picking the best person for the job.
And what are those essential leadership skills then that we should be looking out for, and particularly the ones maybe that we're not quite as aware of, but will be key to that person being a success in the role?
Well, obviously, you need to be a strong communicator. You need to be able to, you know, you need to be able to talk to your staff and to lead, you know, and to communicate to them and inspire others through your words and your actions. Then you need to be a strategic thinker as well. So you must have the ability to forward plan. Like if you were like in succession planning, if you're looking to the future, then you're able to make strategic decisions to drive the organization forward. Then having kind of a collaborative and team building environment, a successful leader will also ensure that there's collaboration. It's a supportive team environment and where individuals can thrive and can contribute to the goals as well. And then you have to have empathy and self-awareness and relationships and building kind of relationship building in the leadership side of things. And then you need to be confident in what you are talking about in your company. And because if you're confident, then your employees will believe in you and the company will move forward.
Actually, when you talk about communications and a message as well, it's something that's often put towards Simon Harris in it. He's a master communicator. But it was the question always comes as well, what's he going to be like when he gets into office? Has he got the credentials to do it? Well, it looks like he's going to be the anointed one anyway. And interesting when you mention empathy, because last week there were reports in the media that empathy was going to start being taught to secondary school students. And yet yesterday, I saw another survey that said schoolyard bullies end up earning more in the workplace. So it's complex out there as well. And we don't want anybody with bully boy tactics getting into the place. But suppose, Breida, from an overall kind of perspective with Matrix at the minute, we're still at a fairly full job, full employment around the country. How's it going? Any particular challenges in the recruitment sector as well that you're noticing?
The challenge is really is we are at full employment, so there's not as plentiful candidates available for those positions. The jobs, definitely, we've noticed that there is a bit of a decline in jobs. They're not as plentiful as they were before. But this talent shortage is the big thing. Housing crisis is causing a major issue for people that want to potentially move jobs and are happy to relocate, but there is no opportunity for them to source houses if they do decide to move. So a lot of companies they've decided, well, listen, they need to live locally because we know they won't get accommodation. So that's another factor for us as well. And a lot of passive candidates, people are very happy where they are. So they're not actively looking. So for, I suppose, recruiters, we have to do a lot of sourcing to try and, I suppose, get those candidates interested in the positions we have.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think, unfortunately, many of those avenues and challenges that businesses have, a lot of them come right back to housing being a major problem there too. Let's see what the new Taoiseach brings on that. But Breida, as always, thank you so much for coming on. Really value your contribution as well. Breida Dooley there is Regional Recruitment Manager at Matrix Recruitment, and she's local to us here in the Midlands as well. After the break, if you're in the Midlands and you want to nominate and get somebody some recognition and an award for the great work they do, well, the Midlands 103 Customer Service Awards are back, year 5. Katrina Lawler will tell you all about them in just a moment.
Taking care of business. With thanks to the local enterprise offices of Leash, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.
The Midlands 103 Customer Service Awards are back, fifth year already. They've been an absolute roaring success with hundreds and hundreds, not even hundreds, thousands of nominations every year. The nomination lines are open again. To find out more about them and how you can get involved, I'd like to be joined by Katrina Lauder, Business Development Manager here in Midlands 103. Katrina, you're back at it again.
Back at it again. Fifth year in a row.
Tell us what's happening this year.
Yeah, sure. Listen, it's great. It's our fifth year running. It's going really, really well. We launched it yesterday and we've already received thousands of nominations. So it's brilliant to see the support is back. It's such a simple process as well. You're literally going to midlands103.com, you're putting in the details, and you know, once we get the information, we're going from there then. It's incredible. Fifth year and we're back in Tullamore this year.
Absolutely.
And it's the first time since 2019, so.
And loads of categories as well.
Loads of categories. We have 9 categories and in total 61 awards. So you have anything from beauty to fitness to retail, fashion, the motor industry. So we have huge amount. There's 61 awards in total. So But we fly through them. Doesn't take long.
And of course, you have to assemble a judging panel then too. Who have you got on the books?
Yeah,
this year?
So this year is brilliant. We have Hugh Wallace back. Hugh is obviously from RT as well. We have our motoring expert, Bob Flavin. We have Instagram's Kaz Mooney. She's the Irish budgeting. So she is, yeah, she's a super mammy. She does the 5 meals for €5. So, and we have a surprise judge who we will announce later in the week.
Intriguing, very exciting. And of course, this can't happen without your sponsors on board too. Who have you got on board this year?
Yeah, it's brilliant. We've Capital Flow. They've been an amazing support. So we've Capital Flow on with us. And we have the three county councils. So we've Westmead, Laois and Offaly this year, which is brilliant.
Sounds like a fantastic night altogether. Yeah. This is all going to culminate in a big gala dinner.
Gala dinner in the Tullamore Court Hotel on Monday, the 10th of June. So our drinks reception kick off. We actually have 4 distillery from Westmead this year. So we're really excited to work with them. We do like to jazz it up every year and do something different, but we're jazzing it up with these boys.
You ran after me with makeup one year, all right. I won't forget that as well. Look, within all those categories though, Katrina, like you said, 61 different awards. Yeah. There really isn't a kind of a service or business that people can't nominate. We did a bit of crack with this earlier on.
Yeah.
What do we do?
What do we do, Ronan?
I told you, people are thinking I need to go on as an individual and nominate companies.
Client.
And it just dawned on us that actually all businesses are entirely dependent on other businesses to deliver great service to their customers. So even as a business, why don't you log on and try to nominate those businesses that are really helping you out as well.
Yeah, support your local businesses. If you're an insurance broker within the Midlands, I'm sure you go to your local barber to get your haircut. Give them the support. We're all here to support each other within the three counties and beyond. So definitely do give them the support. I think that's so important. Business to business is very, very important, especially nowadays.
It could even be, using your local florist there to give people an award or something, or buy them flowers if somebody's leaving, or
birthdays,
to acknowledge a major milestone, that type of thing as well. Even within the construction, how many businesses have had construction work done over the last couple of years too? Great opportunities for businesses to nominate fellow businesses or those people within the businesses there too. So look, lots happening. The judging process, what's taking place? How's that going to happen?
Yeah, so nominations, just 3 weeks of nominations. So nominations are closing obviously on Friday, it's the 12th of April they close. We then create a shortlist from that and we announce then the shortlist from there, and our judges, we send all the information to our judges and they pick a winner then from there. So we announce our shortlist about 4 weeks out from the actual night itself.
No bother.
So tickets go on sale then.
People are anticipating being nominated, the better when they're booking their summer holidays, keep away from the 10th of June anyway.
10th of June.
Or go the next day. Katrina, thanks as always.
You're so welcome.
Another great night coming to us. Midlands103.com. Literally click on the big banner that says Midlands 103 Customer Service Awards. Pick your category, make your nomination. It's very, very simple. I know I always talk in the show about arduous paperwork. It's far from it. It's really, really simple and really easy to do. Give that person the recognition that they deserve. That's it for me for this evening. Thank you to John Clendenin there from the Vineyard Federation, talking to me to start the show about Save Jobs, Sign the Pledge, and really his call to the incoming Taoiseach Simon Harris to get out there and support small businesses and SMEs. That's coming from John, who's also a member of the Fine Gael Party, and indeed was one of the first people out to congratulate him on Simon Harris on his leadership victory at the weekend as well. To Amy O'Connor, the tourism activator in Westmead, again, really showcasing and pinpointing the opportunities there for a business across Westmead. If you're into tourism, hospitality, into that kind of amenity sector, get in touch with her, see what you can do for your business as well. And also, just before the break there, Breeda Dooley from Matrix Recruitment, giving us a great insight into leadership succession planning. There's never a good time, never a bad time to start, and it's never too early. So get started on that now too. And of course, Katrina Lawler for popping in there too. That's it. That's it from me for this week. Joe Cooney will be here after News at 8 with Country Roads, bringing the very best of Irish and American country music. I'll talk to you all on Saturday morning on Saturday View, or else I'll be back here next Tuesday for Taking Care of Business. See you then.
Taking Care of Business returns next Tuesday at 7 p.m. with the local enterprise offices of Laois, Offaly and Westmeath. Find us on localenterprise.ie and let's talk business.